easier. Got a cauliflower ear from boxing in the Navy. Now, I got a good verse for us right now, and let me read this to you. To this you were called. I'm going to take this seriously with you, that you and I are called for this. This God says this through the pen of Peter. To this you were called. You know what? Because it goes on to say, Christ suffered for you. You were called to accept his suffering on the cross to pay for your sin, but also to, let me just read the next part, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Have you bitten off more than you are able or willing to chew? Are you willing to be a follower of Christ, really? Have you just come here today? You attend church, you have your religion, but do you follow Jesus Christ, really? The death of Christ is offered to us in two ways in the Bible, for two purposes. First, as a payment for all our sin. He dies instead of us so we don't have to perish. He takes the penalty. But it also is an example that we are to follow. Are you ready for that? All right. The text before us is a part of a book that is calculated as medicine right from God's medicine chest to meet what need you've got. And in Colossians, they had a special need of just shoring up their doctrine. They'd begun to drift. They'd been infiltrated. And just these thoughts get into our minds. We get watered down in our thinking about the gospel and of God when we spend a lot of time in the make-believe world that Hollywood constructs for us. Or we get overburdened in the news, or we just forget and get turn to our own ways. We need to come back to God and to follow Christ. How in the world do you become Christ-like? I love that word, Christ-like. I would love to be that way, and I hope you have that desire in your own heart. And let me just suggest to you, there are three valuable aids you can have for this. One, you can look at Jesus right in his own life. The Bible is written down for us so that you can study him. You can study Christ literally and directly. And secondly, you can launch your own effort in through prayer and Bible reading. You can look to God and call to him. And that life of Jesus can be impregnated into your own heart and life. But there's another way, and that's what we're going to use today. You can meet Christian people and study their lives and use them right from the Bible if necessary, but you can learn from other people and follow their life. The Apostle Paul said that. He said, follow my example. There's nothing wrong with learning from other people. And so today, this text is going to introduce to us co-workers of the Apostle Paul. Now, here's a man in prison. He was paying a price, and ultimately he was beheaded for Christ. This fellow suffered untold agonies. It's a long list of things he suffered. And here are some people that stood with him, went through it. even perhaps were imprisoned with him. And we're going to meet them and study their lives. And studying the characteristics of people like this who are standing in Christ and who affirm in their faith, that ought to help us to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's meet the first of these. And I'm going to ask that two of these fellows come right in here, and I'm going to make believe that they're talking to you today, and I'm going to take two of them together. Tychicus is in verse 7, chapter 4, Colossians, verse 7. Tychicus, that's how that's pronounced, will tell you all the news about me. So the Apostle Paul is sending him from Rome to go there and to talk to the people and to tell them how he is doing. Because remember, he's their great father in the faith, as it were, even if done from a distance. He is writing now to them, and he's sending this letter by Tychicus and another one or two, and they are going to bring news of the Apostle Paul to them, because Paul wants them to know just what's going on with him. So here we have a personal representative, and and by the way, look down in verse 9. It says he, Tychicus, is coming with Onesimus. So we got to meet him too. So here are two fellows that are coming together. And in fact, I'll ask Tychicus if you'll stand right here, Onesimus if you'll stand right here, and I'm going to interview them and have them say a word maybe. Okay, Tychicus, here is Paul's personal representative, and he is bearing the news, bearing this letter Paul dictated to the Colossian church. And he probably is known not by them, but at least he's coming with this letter now. Let me just read this first part, verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is, now I'm introducing him to you, he's a dear brother. He is so firm in his faith and such a good man that the Apostle Paul in prison calls him a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. Does that click in with any of us in the way we live? I am sending him to you, says the apostle, the writer of these words. They're still preserved in Scripture, but the writer of these words is none other than the Apostle Paul in chains, in prison, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Paul knows that this fellow standing right here, if we could just see him, it would help maybe, but we'll see him in the Word of God here. His heart is opened up. This man is commissioned by the apostle to encourage a local church. Open your heart to God's Word today and let him encourage you. God wants your heart tended by the Holy Encourager. The word encourage is related to the term applied to the Holy Spirit as our counselor and encourager. That's what God wants to do. And you can, right where you're sitting, you can ask that the Holy Spirit fill you right now, and he will encourage and direct your life just as he has in the life of this man and through him to others. All right, go now to verse 9. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful, and here he is standing right here. And there's quite a story behind Onesimus, if you didn't know that. Some of you maybe haven't known who Onesimus is. He's quite known in Scripture. This word, Onesimus, he is a faithful and dear brother who is one of you. So he belonged to the Colossian church. He's from Colossae. Well, how in the world did it get in Rome? You know that? We know it from another scripture. It tells us in the book of Philemon, a little book, just of one chapter, that this fellow Onesimus belonged to the household of Philemon, and he stole stuff from Philemon, and he ran away. He was a runaway slave, and he somehow ended up in Rome, and the Apostle Paul met him some way and led him to Jesus Christ. And then he said, Onesimus, the man I've got standing here today, he was with Paul in prison. And Paul said, Onesimus, you got to go back and make it right. That's the way you do when you become a true believer. So he is on his way back. Now he's already been instructed by Paul. And so Onesimus is with Tychicus. It says so right here in this text. The two of these are carrying the letter of Paul to Philemon that you've got in the Bible, called Philemon, and they're carrying the letter to the Colossians, and I personally think they're carrying also the letter to the Ephesians. I'll speak about that in just a minute. So they're coming back with these letters, which we have right in our hand in the Bible. Notice that the same words are addressed about our friend Onesimus here. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother. The Apostle Paul has got his arm around Onesimus without any hesitation or holding back. They are brothers in the faith. And he is one of you. So Onesimus is from Colossae, and that's where Philemon lived also. And he has cheated and run away, and now he's coming back to make it right. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Okay, I'm going to let them be seated because we've got to move. And then I'd like next for three fellows to come up at once. And the reason I want these next three men to come up at once, Aristarchus, Mark, and Justus, I want them to come up because if you look in verse 11, look at that second sentence in verse 11. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. So I'm going to have these three fellows stand right around here, and I want you to notice them. And some of you have never looked at them before in your life, really. But they are Jewish fellows. And Paul would identify with that because he is a Jew. But not only that, they have stood with Paul, and they are there with him now. And so they are not being sent by Paul, but they are sending their greetings along with Paul's greetings. And they are staying there ministering to Paul. First, there's Aristarchus. He sends the greetings. Now, Aristarchus is a fellow prisoner with Paul. Look in verse 10, the very first words, my fellow prisoner, Aristarchus. So this taught me a lesson. If you're going to follow Jesus, you can't keep out of jail. Sooner or later, you'll meet the cost of following Jesus. Now, you may not be literally put in the pen, but you will be in your heart and in your associations. It will come to you. This is a shock to some people to realize that. But Aristarchus had stood with Paul. He had gone through, you see his name in the book of Acts, for example. There was a terrific riot took place in Ephesus. That was nearby city in Asia Minor also, but it was a big place, a big city. And this huge crowd, it must have been hundreds and if not thousands of people, were in the streets and hollering for Paul's blood. They didn't get a hold of Paul, but they got Aristarchus and others, and they brought them out and had a big public spectacle of a so-called trial. Well, anyway, they finally escaped and got out of there. But he had been through many things with the apostle and was a fellow prisoner with him. I don't know if he was literally in prison or it was a spiritual thing. It could be that, because a little later, Epaphras is said to be the fellow prisoner with Paul, and Aristarchus is just mentioned. So that phrase is interchanged with other men. But be that as it may, the big thing is something I want to show you from the book of Mark. Please turn to book of Mark, chapter 8. Christians who follow the Lord Jesus Christ are in for a double shock. Let me show you this from the Bible. First of all, you're going to be shocked at the cost and how the Lord will allow it to happen too. You'll be leveled. You'll be put down. Those he loves, he chastens and allows this to happen. But you'll be excited to know that on the other hand, the great level of glory that awaits you. So here we are in the book of Mark, and I'd like to have you look at verse 34 of chapter 8, 8:34 of Mark. Then he, Jesus, called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, he's got to get this lesson over to them. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Then he comes around in the very last part of verse 38. The Son of Man is coming in glory, and when he comes in his Father's glory, all the holy angels will be with him. And then the Apostle Paul says, if we suffer with him, we're going to be glorified with him. The glory that, it just, the Bible says, is beyond anything we can now conceive of that awaits the children of God. Aristarchus reminds us of that. Now, the next one of these three standing up here, the Jewish fellows, is named Mark. Are you aware of the fact that the writer of the Gospel of Mark is the man, he was very close to Peter, and he's there with him now at this time in Rome, and he's going to be staying with him. But later on, it looks like he's expected to make a trip over into Asia Minor, and hopefully we'll get into this valley area where Colossae is, and perhaps visit the church there. And notice what the apostle says about Mark. He is the cousin of Barnabas, and then he instructs the church through this letter that's being hand-carried ahead of time. You have received instruction about him, Mark, that is. If he comes to you, welcome him. This is quite an expression. This Mark is the very fellow, not only who penned the gospel, but who had some kind of a contention or an argument with the Apostle Paul. Do you remember that story? And the two of them separated. On this first missionary journey, Mark was with him and with Barnabas, and they were nephew, and they were cousins, related anyhow. And then when they got into lots of trials, Mark, for one reason or another, left the party and went back home. The Apostle Paul didn't forget that. So when they started on their next journey, and those missionary journeys were terribly trying and rigorous, he thought it best not to take Mark, but Barnabas wanted to take Mark, and so They had an argument, a contention. They separated. They weren't hating each other, but they definitely separated. Paul said, no, I'm not going to take him with us because he turned aside once. I don't want to risk another difficulty. So Barnabas took Mark, and they went together. And the Apostle Paul went in a different route, and he took Silas with him. Ended up in prison, too, very next chapter in 16 in the book of Acts. But the point I want to tell you is that later we find Mark is back at the Apostle Paul's side. And I'd like to have Mark just say something to us. If he could, I think he would say something like this. He would say to us, my friends, I've learned a lesson I share with you. Even if you have a falling out with another person, a Christian, a leader, even if you have a falling out with somebody, don't let it be a falling away. So you can have difficulties, and I'm sure there are tensions between some of us here, but don't let that make you fall away from the Lord. So if you have a falling out, don't let it become a counting out, that you're counted out, you're done. That's just running from a difficulty. That's not the way. You need to go to the person and make it right. And here's an example. And Mark would say this to you. Here I am standing here. I am at one with this man, the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul says, now, when Mark comes to you, you make sure you welcome him. Christian people need to, if you have a settled home and there comes a transient man, a Christian leader, into your presence, then welcome him. That Christian man might be named John Power, and he might have his wife with him, and it might happen next week. And friend, if you don't like him for some reason, or if you feel this is not the way to go for the church, then go to the leaders and make it known, but don't be looking out the side of your eyes at him and making him feel ill at ease. He'll be on a spot. It's tough to do what he's going to do. I've done it more than once. Love him and welcome him. Even if you have a difference, settle it. Let Mark tell you that lesson. So you can go and welcome this man, and if you just do it in your prayers and you love him in your heart, and I think you will, but it'll be a wonderful fulfillment from God. Now we've got to hustle. Justice. This will be a quick one. He's the next fellow that I want you to meet. And this Justice he's no other place in the Bible. So let him just say a brief word. And if Justice could say this, you know what he would say? He'd say, you won't find me anyplace else in the Bible. And you don't know anything about me. And I'm not going to bother to tell you either. But I want to give you a little testimony. My given name was not Justice. It was Jesus. And you know, Jesus is a common name. And that's taught me something. It's taught me to love my Lord Jesus Christ. That he came all the way down and took my name. Or I took his. He became an ordinary person. He became like we are. But don't call me Jesus anymore. Call me Justice. I'm unworthy of that name, but I can bear it. And listen, friend, are you a Jesus follower? Are you an in Christ person, a Christian? Do you bear his name? Even if you are nobody like Justice, you can be somebody in Jesus Christ. The third of these, well, that was my three, Aristarchus, Mark, and Justice, or Jesus. But the next man, and I let those three go and sit down, but the next fellow, you've got to know. Because Epaphras, if you look back in chapter 1, he is mentioned there. Chapter 1, verse 7. Paul writes to the Colossians, you learned the gospel from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. This man, Epaphras, whom I've got here now with us this morning, this fellow met Paul perhaps when he's on his three-year work over there in Ephesus, nearby, and he became a Christian, such a fiery one that he went to Hierapolis and to Laodicea, other of these towns right together in the valley there, and he then ultimately started a church in Colossae. He just evangelized all around, and he began this church in Colossae, and he's now back with Paul again. So how faithful this man was. But I have to tell you something. He was just like the Apostle Paul. If you just take a minute and you look at chapter 1, verse 29, the Apostle Paul says something about himself. And we'll find out this man is just like this. Verse 28, we proclaim him, Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Verse 29, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Chapter 2, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea. Now turn over to this writing about Ephesus in chapter 4 at verse 12. This man, Ephesus, whom we've got before us right now, is one of you. He's a servant of Christ. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you. He's got his mind set on it. And for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis, those are the places where he had spread the gospel himself. And he was burdened in his heart. Do you carry the burden of this church on your heart? Would you be able to say, looking this man in the face today and say, I too am a wrestler in prayer for the sake of the gospel. I wrestle it. I spend time at it. I plead with God for blessings. If you do that, and if you will do it, you'll see a great new era come into this place, a blessing and a change that you've never deemed possible. Well, I wish we had more time, but I just got to skip out on that. But the apostle beg people to pray for him. We need to pray for Emily. We need to pray for those who are trying to stand for Christ outside their own territory. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for Bible studies and things that are going on right here. That Don, for example, and they're trying to get a study going at his place of work. God can use things right here, but he's got to have our prayer to do so. After Epaphras, look what comes next. Our dear friend, verse 14, Luke. This is the Luke whose gospel is right in your hands today, the gospel of Luke. He was a physician and doctor that stood with Paul through so many trials. We'll keep moving. The next fellow, Demas. Now, if I brought Demas up here today, I think his head would duck. I think his cheeks would flush a bit. And if you notice something about Demas here, the apostle doesn't say anything commendatory about, no epithets about him. No. And Demas is also mentioned in Philemon, but in that little book. But no commending word, just his name. So at this point, he was still with the apostle. He wasn't doing anything bad, but it didn't last that way. And it seems like that already there was a kind of a shadow developing, and that somehow he just didn't radiate the same Christ-likeness that the other people had. And I'd like to have you look at that. We just take time for this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's see what did happen to this man. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is here writing to Timothy, and he pleads with Timothy, come to me. Paul was in prison, in a dungeon, in his wearing probably shackles and chains, and he pled with Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:9. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Only Luke. Get Mark, all the forgiveness has been worked out there, and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I send Tychicus to Ephesus. And so forth. I won't go further with it. But the wonderful thing is that this Demas is put out here, and it appears that we don't know whether he went to heaven or hell, but I'll tell you what I think. I think God rescued this man, and that's why he has the place in Scripture, but the Scripture tells it like it is. And if I had some way of getting from this man his testimony, I think I know what he'd say. I think he'd quote this very verse to you. Let me just read it to you. And then I'll tell you where the reference is. His brief testimony would go something like this. I've learned this lesson of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. So let a man who thinks he is standing firm beware lest he fall. Do all of us here in this room, all of us, including me, do we have it on the screen that it is possible for a true believer to pitch to this depth that Demas did? That's how he is known. That's why he is blushing even to this day. If he's in God's kingdom, he's still a blushing Christian. There's one other man before we're dismissed that I would like for you to meet, and that's Archippus. And if you look at verse 17, Colossians 4:17, the Apostle Paul writes to him, and you'll find this same man, Archippus, mentioned in Philemon. Turn to the little book of Philemon, which is just one chapter, and it's just before Hebrews. Philemon, and then Hebrews. But turn to Philemon. And when Paul sending Onesimus back to face the music, carrying the letter, Paul starts out this way: Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, that's probably Philemon's wife, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. So the church there in Colossae, or at least a segment of it, met in the home of Philemon. And it could be that Archippus could even be their son, but he was certainly close to them. Okay? And then the Apostle Paul has got something to say to Archippus. He says, Archippus is, remember, he's there. He's there in Colossae. And the church is asked, tell him, see to it that you complete the work that you have received from the Lord. Colossians 1:17. That is, be alert and watchful and complete the work. That is, carry it forward to its completion, what you've been assigned to do. And you've received it, remember, you've received it as a Christian, as an in Christ person. You're one in the Lord. Then no more business as usual. And I'd like to leave that with all of us. The death of the church is the creeping paralysis of just business as usual. We're just going through. Let the Apostle Paul stir us up. Let his very chains say something to us. And then the Apostle Paul reaches over and he says, hand me the pen. I want to sign off. And this is a man who endured shipwreck after shipwreck, who was beaten over and over and over again, and who was stoned and left for dead. This man just labored for Christ throughout his life. And now as he's getting older, he is in chains. And soon he will be dying for Christ. So he takes the pen in hand and he says, I want to write my PS on this letter. And you've got that letter right in your hand today. God has worked miraculous. This is a miracle book even to have it. And the apostle says, remember my chains. Not just for pity for him, but to have this lesson. If you follow me, says Jesus, you're going to take up a cross. You're going to be in chains. There will be a burden put upon you. But then he adds these words, grace be with you. May the Lord's strength be yours today. Why don't we stand for our closing prayer, please? Our Father, it could be that every one of us have certain decisions we ought to make regarding the future, regarding our lives, regarding our relationships. We want to be like Jesus Christ and walk his way and think his thoughts. We thank you for the cross where he paid for our sins and for the gift of the Holy Spirit who now makes it possible that we can become Christ-like. Lord, we long to be that way. Fill our hearts with your Spirit this day. Through Christ our Lord, we pray for your benediction. Amen.